Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It's 908. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU every morning from 9 to 10. Well, I guess technically from 6 to 10. But I have a special guest today. Patrick Dunleavy is with me on the air. Patrick, how you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
We have entered, was yesterday the first official filing day or Saturday?
It was the 27th, I think.
Oh, it was the 27th. Week, yep. It was last week. So we are going to talk taxes a little bit. That is Patrick's area of expertise, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
He has another area of expertise, and Mello's going to... Hi, Mello.
Hi.
She's going to... we got a little something special later on in the show for his other area of where he likes rock and roll like me, I guess. I don't want to keep it too much of a secret. And Mello's going to test us.
Yes, it's going to be a good time for me
and everyone else. One or both of us will be embarrassed, or one or both of us will be, you know, pass with flying colors. We'll find... I have no idea what she has planned, Patrick, so...
Yeah, I'm keeping score as well.
Oh,
there will be bragging rights as well.
Does the winner get something?
Yeah, is there a prize?
They get the victory of the first round, and then when we have you on again, Patrick, we'll see who can redeem themselves.
Fantastic. I've been studying up.
Well, and you joke about that. I mean, there, you can't study up rock and roll, right? I mean, it just is, right? You
correct.
Just, yeah. And I'm probably a little bit older than Patrick, not much, but a little bit. And,
yep.
I was having children during the 90s, so I was not in the... I mean, you know, you mentioned Soundgarden and what's the one?
Nirvana,
yeah, and I'm like...
Nirvana dropped when I was a senior in high school, so it was...
I know the names, and I might know one or two of their songs, but that's about it, because at that point, I had moved on from my rock and roll era to my having babies and raising children era.
Right.
So, well, tell us about yourself a little bit, Patrick. Where are you from? How long you've been in St. George? And tell us about your family.
I am a born and raised St. George, Utah kid.
My parents
moved here in 1970.
Okay, what school? Dixie?
Dixie High School. I grew up right down below Dixie High School, Morningside Park, Prestige Villa, off Flood Street. Grew up playing in the Flood Street. Went to Dixie High School, then I went on to Dixie College when it was still a JUCO,
right.
And then went on to BYU after my mission and graduated from BYU.
Cool. Where did you go on your mission?
I went to England.
Nice. Which mission was it?
The London South Mission.
Okay. My brother-in-law went to, I think, Birmingham, but I'm not super familiar with the missions out there.
Right.
So. Pretty cool. So did you learn British?
I did, actually. I came
back with
a strange inflection in my voice and some strange words. Absolutely. My friends tease me endlessly. Yes.
My brother-in-law's always talking, I want some authentic British food. And I'm like,
no, you don't.
Wait, isn't authentic British food kind of crappy?
It's pretty bland. Yes. And, well, London's fantastic because it's such a big melting pot. I met people from like 40 countries in the first week I was there. Our landlady was a little Jamaican lady, redheaded Jamaica. So
ooh.
It was fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Good times.
My daughter went to Chile on a mission, you would think a place named Chile would have great chili and great spices and stuff. And she actually she sent me an email right before she got off her mission, and she said, "You know what I'm looking forward to most about coming home?" And I was like, "I don't know, seeing family, your nieces and nephews." And she said, "No, flavor." She says, "Chile, everything in Chile is bland."
Yes.
So, and I guess it was that way in England.
British food is known for being very bland, yes.
So, we are going to talk taxes a minute. I didn't get the rest of your history, though. You're married and kids?
Married and kids. My wife and I, between the two of us, have eight kids.
Eight?
And just woke up our first grandbaby 2 days ago for
really?
My wife.
Congratulations.
She's over the moon. I'm probably not going to see her for a couple of years now because she's in grandma mode. She's thrilled.
It happens.
It does, yep.
I have five grandkids, but they're all young. They're four. I think the oldest two or the twins are four. So
wow.
I'm pretty new to the game too. Mello, do you have grandbabies?
I have three.
You have three.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. How old's your oldest grandbaby?
Three to like 5 months.
So we're all pretty new to the grandparent game, right?
That means we're young. Yes. That's what that means.
Well, I got a little bit later. So I have friends from high school whose grandchildren are graduating from high school now and into college and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. I guess I waited too long. I don't know.
Or they started early.
Yeah.
I have some friends like that started a bit early.
We had a girl.
Some on purpose, some not on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We had a girl in high school that got pregnant her sophomore year
yes.
and disappeared for a while. came back her senior year and got pregnant again.
Oh, geez.
So she had two kids in the early, in the mid-80s, you know, the early to mid-80s. So.
Yep.
And they would be, I guess her kids would be like 40 now. Holy cow. I really am getting old, Patrick.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Your kid, what part of town do you live in?
Just, we live out in Little Valley with Little everybody Valley. Else.
Okay. Are you a pickleballer?
I am not.
No? Okay.
I play a little tennis, but no pickleball. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. I was a tennis guy, and I have converted to pickleball mostly because my wife and I are, first of all, we're pretty even at it, and that makes it more fun when you're even with somebody, and also because there's a lot less running and bending and stuff than in pickleball than there is in tennis.
Right.
So, and a lot of the skills translate pretty well, the spin and everything.
Sure.
So,
yep.
I appreciate you coming in today. Let's talk taxes for a little while. I really, when I think about the average person that listens to this show, probably, you know, 40 plus, maybe a lot of them 60 plus, and so, with the tax now, you know, if you're still working, you probably got your W-2s and you're ready, or you could be ready anytime. If you're not working, obviously you're looking at Social Security, you know, and how to figure all that out. What are some of the pitfalls that you see? What are some of the biggest mistakes that are made for people as they are older?
The biggest mistake I see is people that have any level of complexity not consulting a competent tax professional.
Mm.
I get people to come in all the time with, hey, I did this and that, and I got this result. I'm like, well, you missed this, this, and this. Would have given you this result. Or if you would have done this, it would have been this result. And taxes have become so complex, and a lot of people don't understand them. They don't want to understand them. And frankly, a lot of people are scared of them. Because the IRS is that big bag boogeyman that's going to come get you. And sometimes they do. We don't want the IRS coming to us. We don't want IRS letters coming to us. People freak out about it. And in all reality, you can usually deal with the IRS and the state tax commission if you respond to them. So that's one of the things you've always got to do. If you get a notice or a letter from a taxing agency, call them. Respond to them. Don't burn it. Don't shred it. Just attack it head on.
It ain't going to go away on its own.
It will not, and it gets worse. So as long as you communicate with them, generally speaking, they've got to follow the law. Sometimes you get a person at the IRS that's an idiot, and I've had this happen, and I've had to just hang up.
Are you kidding? A government?
Yes, I've had to hang up and just call back and get a non-idiot, which, unfortunately, that's just part of the system we have. So definitely consult a tax professional if you have any level of complexity. If you've just got a W-2 in your Social Security, you could probably pull the TurboTax or whatever and take care of that.
Okay.
For sure.
Now, you talked about some of the mistakes that people make. I'm guessing they're not necessarily ones that are going to get you in jail or get you in trouble. These are ones that you could have, maybe you're costing yourself
money.
Lot of money.
You pay more tax than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not filing a tax return is a felony. You want to do that for sure.
Right, yeah. That's a no-no.
Yes.
Ask Willie Nelson.
I do have a question about that, though.
Yes,
go ahead. I have kids that are at home that I can barely get to work for 5 hours a week, and their W-2s are itty-bitty. Do they have to file? Do you have to make a certain amount to file?
No. The standard deduction, I think, now is $14,000. If you make less than that, you don't have a filing requirement. The only time you'd ever really want to file is if you had federal or state withholding on those W-2s that you would get back.
So you would get it back even if you didn't make enough?
Correct. So if you have a $5,000 W-2 for a kid, now if you claim that child, that changes that analysis a little bit.
Okay.
But if you have a child that's on their own that makes very little money, claims themselves, they would get that money back if they had federal or state withholding on
I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, I would say as a kid, they're going to want to file just because they'll get a check back most of the time.
Yes, and what we do see when you have those kids that get 17, 18, 19 that are still at home, which is happening, or in college, a lot of times the parents still would want to claim them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bigger benefit by the parents claiming those children, but oftentimes these kids jump on these tax softwares and throw their W-2s in to get their $300 back, and it costs the parents sometimes thousands.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure your kids don't jump the gun and claim themselves. We have to fix a lot of returns every year where kids have claimed themselves where they shouldn't.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
All right. I have to admit, Patrick, and the area of taxes is an area of expertise for you. It is not for me. In fact, my wife and I, basically it was, she would do the TurboTaxing or whatever. We've been doing that for a long time until the last few years. And then she would say, will you go over that and make sure I didn't make any mistakes? And I would go through and just basically look for errors. That's all I would do with the taxes for us. So I actually texted my wife and I said, what are some of the questions I should ask? And she, like four pages of questions. I'm like, well, okay. So let's start with, now we see a lot of people, seniors, that maybe the Social Security check isn't enough and they don't have enough saved for retirement. So they actually get a job. You might see a 70-year-old as a greeter at Walmart or maybe an older guy helping you at Home Depot or whatever. How does getting a job affect your taxes as far as, I mean, you can only make a certain amount of money, right?
Depends on your age, correct. If you make more than a certain amount, it may affect your benefit going forward. They may reduce that benefit. I've seen that happen. Okay. So I want to be very careful about that.
Tell us about the age thing then.
If you're full senior age, I don't think there's a reduction, but if you're below the full amount and you're drawing Social Security, then
like
it
67
could,
or?
Yeah, it could lower that benefit year over year.
Yeah, so you actually could be hurting yourself by getting a job.
Potentially. It could lower that benefit. How much? One of the most important things, if you're Social Security age, get on the Social Security's website. We just had this with a client the other day who was still working, concerned about how her salary affected her benefit when she retired. Social Security has a great tool where you can, it has all your history there, and you can put in how much you make, how much you expect to make until retirement. It'll tell you exactly what your benefit is going to be.
Okay. Well, that is a nice tool.
It is, yes.
That's really nice to have. All right, let's talk a little bit. I had a couple of things I was going to ask about. Explain a trust for me. A lot of people, older people, are, you've got to start planning on for your debt. Nobody wants to die, right? And I'm of the generation that I felt like I was going to live forever.
Right. You're not?
No. Okay. In fact, recent health problems have reminded me that I am, in fact, mortal.
Right.
I was talking with my sister and brother-in-law about a trust fund because my brother-in-law's mom died.
Right.
And they had set up a trust, and I'm just explain what a trust is, number one, and explain does everyone need one?
Everyone does not need a trust. A trust is an estate planning tool that you can essentially direct your money from the grave. It gives you the money when you die. If the trust is the trustee, money can flow into that trust, and you can direct that via that trust document how that money is distributed, whether you distribute the corpus or the actual funds of the trust or just the earnings, who the beneficiaries are, those type of things. It can be important because trusts don't run through probate. Mm-hmm. So if you have a will.
That's kind of what they were talking about.
Everyone could use one, but it's a case-by-case basis. But the best thing about the trust is it doesn't run through probate.
Yeah.
Which if you have family members lingering and you have a large estate and you don't want to have to go through the courts, trust is fantastic. Now, I'm not an attorney. Not a trust attorney or anything like that, so I'm going to qualify that.
Yeah, we got the disclaimer right up front. Don't listen to us on the radio for your exact advice. Use us as a guide, a tool to
always discuss with a professional. Absolutely. Because your situation is unique to you. Everyone is very different. I get questions all the time. My cousin's uncle's brother claimed his dog and rode off his boat and his airplane. I want to do the same thing. Well, your situation is 100% different than his.
Yeah.
These are the rules that apply to you. Let's talk about your situation and not theirs.
I had a friend that used to do a show on here, and he would always talk about deadlines. There are certain age deadlines when if you have, and I didn't understand it all, but he said basically when you turn a certain age, your tax bracket changes and how much you can have in a 401k. And all. So can you explain that all to me?
So you've got, I think he's probably referring to a required minimum distribution.
Okay.
When you hit a certain age, if you've got deferred money in a traditional 401k or IRA, you've got to start drawing that down.
Okay.
And that's based on your life expectancy and IRS table and what's called the fair market value or the net asset value of those assets in that plan on the last year or the year before. So you get a lot of that when you get in your 70s. I believe they've raised the age to 73 now. It used to be 70 and a half. Was 70 and a half.
So at a certain point, they start taxing that money at a much higher rate?
No, it doesn't change the rates. You're just required now. It's been in that deferred account, in that 401k. You're now required to draw a portion of that down.
What if you don't?
You get penalized.
They're gonna fine you, is what I'm saying, basically.
Yes.
They want your money.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's not good, but it makes sense at least.
Yep.
You start understanding.
That's the beauty of what they call a Roth IRA or a Roth component of 401k. There is no RMD on those type of things, I believe.
Now, I heard talk in the news about folks saying Donald Trump should make it so that Social Security is not taxed. Now, I've never drawn Social Security. I'm not old enough yet to draw Social Security, but I was amazed that it is taxed. Social Security is taxed, and they're taking money out of what you get?
Only if you make more than a certain amount in other types of income.
Okay.
Once you have interest, dividends, W-2 that's over a certain amount, then a portion of that Social Security becomes taxable. They should do away with that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. I think so, too.
And then some states tax it as well. Not all, but some do.
Wow. Wow. So I have a unique situation. So I was, in my career, I was a, what do they call it, independent contractor, freelancer.
Sure.
For a good chunk of it, probably 25 years, sure, where I paid my own taxes independently. And I, you know, I've only actually been working for the man here for 6 years full time. And most of my career, I paid my own money. I did not pay as a freelancer, I don't think, into Social Security, right?
You did, depending on your structure. Okay. If you're a sole proprietor, that the net income of that sole proprietorship reported on a Schedule C, now we're talking tax jargon,
right,
runs through what's called self-employment tax that you pay both sides of FICA and Medicare, which is, is Social Security and Medicare. So you did pay into it.
So there is money. I have been putting money into Social Security even as a freelancer.
I don't know. I'm assuming you had profits in that freelance business. If you had profits.
Usually losses, but yes.
Well, if you had losses, then you did not pay into it.
Okay.
It's only on the profits.
Okay.
Now, if you had another structure, you may have changed that as well. If you were filing an LLC as with an S-election, that's another conversation.
Now, does that mean when I get, if so, let's say I didn't, say all those years I didn't pay into Social Security because we didn't make money. I don't know. I'll have to talk to my wife about all this stuff. But when I get to the time when I want to draw on Social Security, does that mean I'm going to have a whole bunch less, and so I will get a whole bunch less?
Yes,
it does.
You have to have credits, Social Security credits. I believe you have to make at least $4,000 a year in self-employment tax or W-2 income.
So till I was maybe 30, I was paying into it. I didn't pay for 20-something years. Now I'm paying the last 6 years. So the 6 years and the up till I was, well, maybe 16 to 30, I paid into it. That's all that's going to be there.
You should log into that Social Security, go set up an account.
I could actually look.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It'll show you every single year and what your benefit is and what you paid in and what wages are reported. Yes.
What's the website?
SocialSecurity.gov.
Okay.
Nice. It is,
I think it's ssa.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mel is going to look it up.
And you set up, you just go to My Social Security. You can set up an account. It'll authenticate you, and it'll give you all your Social Security history from the time you started working as a 14-year-old if you had a W-2 job.
That's amazing.
So what about drawing on, like, your ex-partners or your ex-spouse's Social Security?
So I believe it depends on how long you were married to that person, and then it becomes a greater than. If you made more than him, your benefits more, you could take that or his.
But what if you've remarried? Are you disqualified then?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
That's the beautiful thing about that website. The answers are all there for you.
That's fantastic.
But that's a really good question, what you get. Because that's something that people sometimes forget when they take Social Security early. They don't think about their spouse. So if one person had the most more earnings in their career and they take it early, then that benefit would go to their wife as well. So say they passed 5 years later, the wife would then get their benefit if they didn't have a bigger benefit. But if they had waited 5 years, they may have a much bigger benefit that would go to their spouse.
Right.
I assume my spouse is going to outlive me by a lot.
Mine will. I know that.
She's a mover and a shaker, both your wives.
Yep. I know she tries a lot harder than me. So as far as staying, you know, trying to extend her life. For me, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Give
me
I think my wife has better genes than I do.
Oh, that is actually a huge factor in it all. And actually, in that area, I'm actually pretty good because my grandparents and my parents both live pretty old.
So. I've got one side that is very not good, and the other side live forever. So I'll probably end up right in the middle.
So a question about that Social Security money. So when I die, or when one of the spouses die, the other spouse can keep collecting that? Yes. What if both of them die? Is that Social Security money gone forever?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
You're paying it your whole life. Yes. You both die, and nobody else gets it. The government gets to keep your money.
Correct.
Do they keep it or do they redistribute it?
Well, it's just that's a whole other conversation.
Redistribute? Come on, what the hell does that mean, Mello?
It's in the Social Security
to the
money.
System, to everybody else that's still alive. Oh,
that's kind of the whole point of Social Security, right? Yeah. To support those. It's kind of a redistribution plan, but that's a whole other political argument if you want to talk tax policy.
Do you know, you sound like you're a pretty conservative politically guy and stuff like that. You know, we talk about stuff like that. You know, my opinion is really, does some of this stuff, like you look at it and you just shake your head? I mean, you mentioned taxing Social Security. I mentioned that, you know, if you both die, it's gone and they keep it. And I mean, some of it seems horribly unfair.
Well, 20 years ago, George Bush came up with the privatization as a portion of the Social Security, and he got ridiculed, so that'll never be brought up again. But if that would have happened, you look at the returns on the market, you'd have a big chunk of money.
Yeah.
But yeah. It just depends. I just wish in the political world we'd all get together and get the best solution for all of us and not stop and keep fighting left and right.
Yeah, good point. I got a text here. And by the way, if you want to call and ask Patrick a question about taxes or anything to do with finances, or you can ask him about, I don't know, you can ask him about drag shows in St. George if you want. Oh. I don't know if he'll have an answer you want to hear, but I have no idea. But, 673-5890 is the phone number. That's 435-673-5890. I just got a text, Patrick, and I'll read that to you. My text line is 467-5842. Text is, can you ask Patrick about capital gains? Lots of people with lots of increased value in their homes. That's a good point, huh?
Yeah, the one of the things in the tax code that isn't indexed to inflation is that home exclusion they have. So if you're married and you file a joint return, you've got $500,000 you can exclude in capital gains before any of it's taxed. If you're single, it's $250,000, and that's been on the books for 25 years. Hasn't been indexed at all, and with the increase in home values, especially in southern Utah and across the strait, California and other places, we're now seeing people pay tax when they sell their home because they bought it for $300,000 15 years ago and are now selling it for $1.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So very important in that situation that you're going to be able to track any improvements you've made to that house to build up the actual tax basis.
What do you mean track it?
Well, you've got to be able to take what you paid for the house, plus if you've made any additions or anything along the way.
We added a pool.
So that would add to your tax basis of the home, which would minimize your capital gain. So anything above that $500,000 threshold, which is the spread between the cost and the sales price, is going to be taxed at capital gains rates.
So we bought for a certain amount. The house is now worth, you know, we've owned our house 6 years. It's now worth roughly $250,000 to $300,000 more than what we paid. We've added some turf and we added a pool. You're saying that we could take the money we spent on those things.
So you wouldn't need to because you're still within that $500,000 spread.
Oh, okay.
It's you don't have million. A gain that's more than half a million. If you did, I had a client that just sold a house he'd been in since the early 80s that he sold for seven figures that he...
Wow.
So we've had to
probably
really sharpen
it
our pencil. He added a couple garages and a lot of things to it, so we should be okay. But it's going to take some work. And technically, you're going to have receipts for that stuff to support your tax basis if the IRS ever comes knocking.
So is it the actual value of what you put into it, or is it the value that it caused?
It's the cost basis.
Okay.
It's the cost of the money you spent.
The actual money you spent. Got it.
Okay, this text, and maybe you can confirm this. It said, I should be getting a quarterly SSA statement in the mail that shows how much I made each year, as well as your FRA, I don't know what that is, and how much you would get back. At ages 62 to 70, and send it at about 55 years old, they start mailing statements. Does that make sense?
I haven't hit 55 yet. I'm not sure. I have seen those statements, but all that information is available on the Social Security Administration's website. I looked at it 2 days ago.
I'm 58, by the way.
So you can pull that up. You set up your account. It'll pull in all your history from whenever you started, and it can project out what your benefit is if you take it at 62, 63, 67. It'll tell you exactly what those numbers are. Okay. And it even has a calculator you put in. Hey, I expect to make, you know, whatever you're making here. I'm sure you're making $10 million a year.
Yes, exactly.
Put that $10 million for the next 5 years you're going to work. It'll tell you how that changes your benefit. It's a great tool.
How did you nail my salary? You knew exactly. I make $10 million a year to sit in this.
He knows what you're worth, Andy.
I figured that was a lowball number.
Trying to do the math if I've made a million in my whole life. But anyway, we're talking with Patrick Dunleavy. His accounting firm is, I'm going to say his name wrong, Kezis?
Kezis, yes.
Kezis and Dunleavy?
Kezis and Dunleavy.
And these guys will, you know, like he said, like if your tax return is really basic and you don't have any weird, strange incomes, or not strange, but different incomes coming in, if it's just basically Social Security and, you know, then you probably don't need an accountant. But if you have anything at all extra, you want to consult a tax professional.
Patrick saved me a lot of money last
year.
Did he? Yes, he did. I've been through two other accountants, and he's definitely my favorite.
Well, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to get a commercial break in. When we come back, we're going to change the topic a little bit. Unless you call or text and want to be a part of it, we're going to start talking rock and roll a little bit because Patrick and I have a shared passion for that kind of thing. When we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
When I was a kid, this show, the Andy Griffith Show, not the Andy Griffin Show, was actually still popular, and I was a big fan. You know, it's funny because when you have a name, Patrick, like Andy Griffin, it's so close to Andy Griffith, you get teased a lot. And I hated it when I was little. Just hate, Andy Griffith, where's Opie and Aunt B? You know? But as I got older, I realized Andy Griffith was a pretty good guy. It was a really good show. And, you know, there are worse things. I kind of embrace it. I kind of like it. So
awesome.
Now I even play the song for my theme, you know. So
and as long as you don't go over, what, 30 seconds, you don't have to pay for it?
Exactly. He knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows. That's somebody actually asked me on Friday at the ball game. They said, hey, I noticed you play the Andy Griffith theme. And you know, don't you have to, I mean, how'd you get around the royalties? And I said, well, there's a hard and fast rule in the radio business. You have 30 seconds. If you'll notice, you never hear me play a song longer than 30 seconds, because if I play it, I have to
pay royalty.
Yeah, pay royalty. So
do you get fined if you do that without having an existing contract?
Well, we have to file a report with BMI, which is the music industry group, saying it, did we play any songs during the last quarter, and if we did, what song and how long and stuff like that.
Right.
So I just tell them, I play Andy Griffith's theme every day for less than 30 seconds. So.
That's the letter of the law, right?
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. All right. Well, for a time in the late 80s and early 90s, about the time you were in high school, I was a DJ at a classic rock station. Now, I say classic. It was our tagline was from the 60s to the 90s, a history of hits. So we did play classic rock, but we also played new stuff. In fact, I'll never forget the day my music director came running in with a copy of CD. We played CDs back then of Thunderstruck, which people think Thunderstruck came out in the 80s, you know, in 82 or something. No, Thunderstruck's only been around since around 90 or so.
I remember when that came out. That was huge.
And he brought it in to me, and I remember it had a black case with a cutout of a lightning bolt. And then I opened it up, and I stuck it on the CD player, and I played it, and within 5 seconds, the phone lines lit up, and they wanted me to play it again. And I'm I can't really play it, like, again, but I'll play it in an hour. Yep. And anyway.
We've actually got ACDC's on tour this year, and we just got tickets to see them in Vegas.
Oh, nice.
They sold out.
Nice.
Instantaneously.
And you're going, huh?
I think they're 107, but, you know, I'm not sure how they're going to play, but
they that's the one thing I noticed is that every morning I do the birthdays, and I'm like, yeah, so Geddy Lee from Rush is 74. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so old. But anyway, so Mello has a treat for us, right, Mello?
Yeah, a little rock trivia. I've got a couple rock questions. Trivia.
Okay, questions first,
and then I've also got some songs. So I think I'll kind of mix it up. I'm going to give you guys an easy one because even I got this one right.
Okay,
so no pressure.
Before you start, again, it's worth mentioning. I really, my music expertise, I would say, would be from 80 to 91 or 2, and 92 was when he was a senior, so I'm guessing his music expertise would be maybe 89
I grew up listening to Casey Kasem.
Oh, good, music. Yeah.
Michael Jackson was my first love.
Really?
Yes, so I know a lot of 80s pop music.
You do
music.
Know 80s, okay.
So.
Oh, I did more like heavy metal. So we'll see how you do. I'm sorry, Patrick. Next time we'll gear
brother,
it towards you.
My older brother was the biggest heavy metal fan you've ever met.
Really?
Every
really?
Single album.
Did he have all the shirts and everything?
He went to the Motley Crue, what was that? Dr. Feelgood tour in 87. Mm-hmm. Was that when it was? And my parents thought he was going to hell.
Oh, my sister, too. My sister got to go backstage. They really liked her.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Now you were on a mission 93 to 95?
Yes.
So I was on a mission 85 to 87. So
gotcha.
Anybody that knows about missionaries, there's a gap in there. You don't listen to music. You don't even know what's pop. You don't even know what's going on. So we both have holes in there, too.
But okay.
Mellow fire away at us.
Okay. Which 1980s rock legend from New Jersey earned the nickname The Boss while playing a game of Monopoly with other Jersey Shore musicians?
I'm going to let him answer because it's
Springsteen.
Yeah, The Boss.
Okay, so that
and
was
by the way, you never can tell. Watch it on YouTube. He basically, it's an incredible video. He's on stage in Germany, And somebody says, play this song. They hadn't played it in 30 years. And he's like, let's work it out. And he worked it out. And there was solo, the trombone and the saxophone. It was amazing. You never can tell us the name of it.
That was one of the first tapes I remember getting was that Born in the USA tape.
Nice.
I can't remember when it was, but I still have it.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not sure how this is going to work. So if it doesn't work, then I'll just revert back to the questions. I'm just going to play like the first 10 seconds of the song.
Okay.
And see if you guys can figure it out.
That's Jesse's girl.
That's
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield, right. Right. I have a story about each one of these things, and I've got to keep
I've actually seen him way
you
back
did?
In the day. Oh, yeah.
I remember Saturday Night Live. So Rick Springfield was popular the same time as a group called Culture Club. Culture Club had a dude who looked and acted and dressed like a girl. And so Saturday Night Live had a guy come on dressed like the Culture Club lead singer and saying, I wish that I was Jesse's girl.
Oh, no.
It was actually quite funny, but kind of sick, too. So. Yes. All right, Jesse's girl, Rick Springfield.
Okay, you guys both got that. Okay, mm-hmm. Now here, I'm just going to play the intro. There's no, it's just, and we won't play more than 30 seconds. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, no more than 30 seconds.
Yeah. I know it.
Joan Jett.
Yeah, I love rock and roll.
Gosh, you guys are really good. Okay, here's one I couldn't get.
I've seen Joan Jett, too.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, this one
You're a much more concert guy than me. I went to a few, but not... It's not like you've been to everything.
I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of
people. Really?
Yes, that's why.
I bet I've seen 20.
Oh, my God. I've seen 20 last year.
Really?
Wow.
I've probably saw 30 last year.
So, I'm guessing, Patrick, I could name a concert I've been to, and you've been to that band, probably.
Maybe.
Chicago.
I've seen Chicago,
Eagles.
Yes. I've not seen Eagles.
Oh, okay. Night Ranger.
I have not seen Night Ranger.
And they were
kind of... Journey.
Okay, Journey. I saw Journey. Van Halen.
I did not see Van
Halen. Okay, all right. Well, I haven't seen near as many as you, but I've seen some different ones of these. Yeah, there's that.
Yes.
Okay, here, let's hear. This one has, I'll give you options if you guys don't know it off the bat.
Oh, well, no.
What legendary 80s rock music group were paid just £5 for their first public gig by a teacher inside a dining hall in Westfield School?
Okay, so it's definitely British.
I
can give you the four options if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, because right now my guesses are Beatles or AC/DC.
Okay. Yeah. Guns N' Roses.
No.
Motley Crue.
No.
Van Halen.
No.
Def Leppard.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Okay, you guys got it.
And by the way, Def Leppard, I saw in concert, one of my favorite bands of all time.
I've
love
seen
those
them
nine
guys. Times.
Nine times?
Nine times.
One of your favorite bands, too.
They were one of my early loves was that Pyromania album when it came out. I was, I don't know, 10.
Yeah.
And it's just, yep.
Yeah.
My friends tease me about my love for Def Leppard.
I love those guys, man. They're amazing. I remember, what's the lead singer's name? Do you remember?
Joe Elliott.
Yeah, he said that. I remember watching an interview with him once, and somebody said, tell me about the song Bringing On the Heartbreak. And he goes, it's the only song my mom ever cried to. I was like, for whatever reason, that stuck with me. The only song that ever made his mom cry.
That's so. That's their first big hit. That was a great song. Yeah.
I like Love Bites, too. Yeah. I'm a big power ballad guy. I love
Love Bites takes me back to eighth grade. So music takes me back to periods in time.
Oh, no, I'm right with you. Grade. I understand. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, one more question, because I didn't know this even was what it meant. Which band named their second album 7800 Fahrenheit, because that is the melting point of rocks?
Isn't that Van Halen?
No.
I don't know that one.
I can give you four choices.
Okay, give us choices.
Okay. The Police,
no.
Talking Heads, Bon Jovi, or Queen?
It's Bon Jovi.
It's Bon Jovi.
It's Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so here's another song, and it's got a longer intro, but I couldn't figure it out when I heard the intro.
Okay, as long as it's not longer than 30 seconds,
it's
we're
only
good.
16 seconds.
Okay, okay. I can tell you the band and the song right now.
You can?
But I'm gonna let Patrick think about it for a minute. I told you I have a story about each one of these too. I could tell you a story.
I recognize that intro, but I can't place the band or the song.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I'm gonna
Steve Miller Band, Abracadabra.
There you go.
Yes.
So my friend was in a band in California and was good friends with the Steve Miller Band guys. And he tells me, he's like, listen, I know these guys. That song is not them. I'm like, what do you mean? It's them. It's their biggest hit ever. And he goes, He says, yeah, but if you listen to all their other music, it's different. They just decided to try this one. Abracadabra is almost a disco style, almost. Mm-hmm. And he said they just decided to throw one in there because the record producer wanted a hit. They threw it in there, and it turned out to be their biggest hit ever.
So, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I threw one in from the 90s, just.
Okay, well, then advantage Patrick on this one.
I think you'll know this one.
Okay. Sounds like one. Sounds like Ozzy.
That's Ozzy.
Oh, okay.
No, I know. That's not Ozzy.
Nope. That is.
You should know this. I'm gonna be a little sad if you don't know it.
I do know that.
It's one of those you hear and you go, "Oh, I know that song." But
let me go to the chorus for you guys. Hold on.
Two more seconds. Oh, that's Meatloaf.
Yeah.
I was on my mission.
Oh. See, he was gone. Girls. He couldn't.
I only
do
know
that.
It because all the teenage girls in England listen to that song endlessly.
And I found out more recently that it is not one word. It's meat space loaf. It's a two. I didn't know that. I always figured it was meatloaf. No, it's Meatloaf. That's his first and last name. I mean, that's not really his first and last name, but that's what he went by, Meat. In fact, all his friends called him Meat.
Really?
Yeah.
On purpose. On purpose. That's kind of interesting.
All right. You said you were keeping score. How'd we do?
So far, you guys are neck and neck.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
You guys,
that's good. Is there more?
I have more, but if you want to do something else, we can do whatever you want.
No, let me do a commercial break, and then we'll finish up, because I got to pay the bills, or okay. I get in trouble, and you know how that goes. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
We are with Patrick Dunleavy today. He and I both have a shared passion for rock and roll. I had no idea he had been to like a jillion concerts, though, so that's pretty cool. By the way, how good are you? Do you know the name of the song?
The name of it?
The name of it, yeah.
I do not know the name of it.
It's called The Fishing Hole, and it actually has lyrics. They don't use the lyrics in the Andy Griffith Show theme. They just do the whistling.
Oh, gotcha.
It actually has lyrics and everything called The Fishing Hole. And if you are of a mind, you could go online to YouTube. You could search on Andy Griffith and The Fishing Hole and find a version of him singing that song, believe it or not. Yeah. So, I don't know why anybody would do that, but you can. How about, there's a band that does remakes of 70s rock music called Leonid and Friends. Have you ever seen those guys in concert?
I have not.
They're pretty good. They came here, actually. And I saw them at Cox Auditorium. It was really, really good. I dare say, now we only have old copies of Chicago, you know, but they do some of Chicago's songs better than the copies that we have now. They're good.
Chicago was my first concert. I saw them at Burns Arena when I was 17 with my girlfriend.
No kidding. Yeah. I love those guys.
Front row, they're all in spandex. I was horrified.
Oh.
I saw them in the 80s, and then I saw them again in 2020, when like a month before COVID hit. They wouldn't have let us go to that concert or even had it a month later. But, I saw them in 2020, so good stuff. All right, Mello, the floor is yours. We have 6 minutes.
Okay. Legendary guitarist and member of Guns N' Roses, Slash, created his iconic look after stealing a hat and putting what around it? And I can give you the options if you don't know.
Putting what around it?
Mm-hmm. A, rope. B, string. C, belt. D, guitar strings.
I think he wears a belt around his hat, doesn't he?
I don't know.
It's a belt.
It is a belt.
Good job.
Yeah. I've not heard that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying, as you were saying, I'm like, I don't recall a strings or a rope, but I do, he does have kind of a belt around it, so.
Okay.
But did you know he stole the hat?
I didn't know he stole the hat.
I did not know
he stole the hat.
But it sounds like Slash, yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen Guns N' Roses in concert, by the way?
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How many times?
Just once,
okay.
Yep. That song, November Rain, in concert is pretty cool.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw Aerosmith in concert. That's the only one.
I saw them too.
Okay. Nice. I had a morning show years and years. I mean, we're talking about 30 years ago that our opening song, our opening theme was Welcome to the Jungle. We called it the Jungle Morning Show.
So. That's what I say when I walk in my office every day. Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle. All right, Mello, what do you got next?
Okay, here's a song for you. Just the first 20 seconds.
Okay. Oh, I got a story about
Eddie Davis.
I got a story about all of you.
Yeah.
You know who sang that? Do you remember? It's a woman.
Oh, gosh.
Starts
no.
with a K.
Starts with a K. You're giving them a lot of hints.
I'm trying to help.
That's her first name only, though.
Okay.
I don't. Once you tell me, I'll know.
Kim Carnes.
Kim Carnes. Yep.
So when you're a teenager, I remember this came out when I was a teenager. You're trying to bridge the gap. Me and my dad were good buddies, but he liked 50s music and I liked 80s music. And I was trying to find a way to bridge the gap. And when that song came out, Kim Carnes talking about Betty Davis eyes, because Betty Davis was a star from his era.
Right.
To me, it felt like a pretty cool little gap because she was singing about, you know, anyway, that was kind of cool. So my dad, I'm sure, still remembers that song.
Okay, so. This is an easy one. I don't know why I'm giving it to you, but okay. I'm going to let you guys try this one.
Do you have to answer that one?
Yeah. Well, if you've seen Rocky.
I know, that's what my husband said.
Was it two? Rocky? This was Rocky 2 or 3?
I think it's 3.
It's 3? Okay, yeah.
That was Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger, yeah. Survivor. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I got a story.
Oh, let's hear a story.
The singer for Survivor, you know those, remember those songs, the Bud Light commercials? The singer for all those Bud Light commercials about, you know, he's a six-pack hero and, you know, all these silly little, anyway, that was the lead singer of Survivor. That was his second career, was singing jingles.
So, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sadly, he's passed away now, but.
That's
all right, next.
Okay.
We got 3 minutes.
That's for sure.
Love it. That was recently redone by Postmodern Jukebox in a non-rock and roll style, which I don't know if you ever listen to Postmodern Jukebox.
I've heard a couple versions
of that. They take big hits like Pour Some Sugar on Me and they remake them into different styles. Like I think they did that one in more of a big band style.
Did you ever watch VH1 Behind the Music? Did you ever see the story behind that song?
I did not, no.
It was the last song they added to the album, apparently. Yeah. And I think it was Mutt Lange, who was the producer, and Joe Elliott went into rooms and just recorded basically gibberish, and they came back together and gave them each other's, and that's how the song came together.
Really?
The song means nothing, basically.
And correct me if I'm wrong, wouldn't that be maybe qualified as the biggest hit ever for Def Leppard?
That's probably their best known.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say most people, you say name a Def Leppard song, they would say Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, Mello.
Okay, you want another song or another question?
We got in about 90 seconds.
Okay, here we go. Oopsie. Do you know that?
It sounded like punk music.
No. Iron Maiden?
Yeah, that's Iron Maiden.
That was Iron Maiden? Okay. I was never an Iron Maiden guy.
Yeah, I was neither. It's just, that's a shot. That's just a guess.
Good guess. So a buddy of mine, Cade, loves Iron Maiden, thinks they're the greatest band that ever walked the earth, and he has tried so hard to get me to be an Iron Maiden guy.
Yeah,
and
right.
I listen, and I'm like, I mean, they're all right, you know? They're not bad. They're just not good.
That was the oldest. That was 1980. So I was trying to help you out because it was a little older.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. 1980, I hate to admit this on this rock show, but I was into Barry Manilow and Eric Carmen and the Carpenters back then. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Wow.
So, all right, we got time for one more. We got 30 seconds,
here we
go. My favorite band, maybe except Def Leppard.
Huey Lewis
in the News.
One of the best movies ever.
That's right. And they were both bopping their heads, guys. You couldn't see it. They liked that song.
and by the way, that is probably, and I think Patrick knows what I'm talking about, one of my least favorite songs. The ones that get the biggest popularity are actually not their best songs usually with the bands we love. It's true. We're out of time, man. Patrick, thank you for coming. Mello, thanks for your rock trivia party.
Thank you. That was fun.
Got to go on. Time for news. We'll be back tomorrow. I promise. We'll try to do better.